Hey founders, this is the SaaS Boss Show, the podcast for SaaS founders in the growth stage who want to get unstuck, build high-performing teams, and get clarity about how to build a profitable startup. Every week, I interview SaaS consultants, coaches, and experts who work with dozens of startups just like yours and share their best strategies to overcome the daily challenges of growing a profitable SaaS. My name is Natalie Luniva, and I'm a growth and leadership coach to SaaS founders, and I'm also married to a SaaS founder, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us on this conversation. Hi, everyone. Today, it is my pleasure to interview Emilia Karczynska about how your onboarding affects retention and how you can improve your retention. Emilia is a marketing manager at UserPilot, the onboarding tool for SaaS businesses, and she's also a head of growth at PostFitty, a social media scheduler. Emilia has also worked as a consultant with several SaaS businesses through her agency. She is active in various SaaS communities, and this is how you and I connected, and I'm really excited to chat with you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Natalie.
How did you start working with SaaS? In general,
I kind of grew into working with SaaS over time. I was running a content marketing agency basically a couple of years ago, and I started getting more and more software as a service clients. And my partner had a SaaS business at that time as well. It all kind of clicked, and I became very interested in SaaS. So I decided to specialize in it. The last couple of years, I've been working exclusively with marketing SaaS tools.
So today we talk about churn rate from the perspective of what can you do in the onboarding stage to help with your churn. Based on some statistics, the median annual churn rate for SaaS businesses is really like 20%, which is huge. And it's also interesting to know that low growth companies are more likely to experience high churn rate, which is also kind of makes sense. But the acceptable churn rate is somewhere between 5 and 7% annually, which really means that if you have 100 clients, 100 customers, then losing one customer every 2 months. If you have 200 customers, then losing a customer every month. I think majority of us are really not at that stage yet. So can you share with us what are some most important steps that we can take during the onboarding stage to help us improve our churn rate?
First of all, well, you need to personalize your onboarding. So really think of the target users that you want to attract to your product and what different demographics, what different groups you have. And so a couple of months ago, we conducted this massive research on 1,000 SaaS companies where we signed up for each of them and played around for about 2 hours. And we found that only 48% of companies use any personalization in their onboarding, which means regardless who comes to sign up for their software, basically, they treat everybody the same way, which, of course, affects the user experience and during their user journey. So let's say you have different plans, right? As with PostFitty, for instance, we have plans for like individuals and very small businesses or self-employed people, but we also have plans for agencies, right? So we couldn't really treat these two groups of customers at the beginning the same way, right? You basically need to show different features to the different groups of your customers. So the first step is to personalize your onboarding. And how can you do that? So first of all, you need to know who your user is. And the best way to do it is to conduct an experiment with a welcome screen. So in the welcome screen, where you ask 1 to maybe 3 questions about your user's role. So like what is their role, what company size they work in, and then what they are trying to achieve with your tool, why they signed up in the first place. And that gives you these two key pieces of information that allow you to personalize their onboarding and the user journey later.
So when you mean the onboarding, you really mean the walkthrough, like as soon as we log in into the system and the system is showing which the features and highlights, hey, you can do this here and this is where you can do this. This is what you call the onboarding, right?
Yeah, I mean, specifically walkthrough, but of course onboarding like comprises a lot of different elements. But yeah, in this case, I meant mainly the walkthrough. I like to use PostFitty as an example because I'm quite familiar with the tool. And we have these two very distinct use cases. So basically, if you are an individual and if you're signing up for a social media scheduler just to manage your own business or your personal profiles, then you usually have only a handful of social media profiles linked to the tool. If you are an agency, then you may have several different brands of your clients linked to the tool, right? So for an individual, such features as teams, team management, or grouping the accounts by brand are not necessarily important, right? So they become basically secondary features, or they shouldn't be really included in the onboarding at all. But if you're an agency, on the other hand, these features suddenly become the killer features that really show you the value of the product. So by asking this question in the welcome screen, we can basically adjust the interactive walkthrough, right? So showing your user around based on what they want to achieve. Because ultimately, in the onboarding, we want to help our users achieve their goals. But we need to know what the goals are first. So this is what the majority of SaaS companies are missing. They are not asking the user, after they have signed up, what they want to achieve with the tool. So basically, the first way to reduce churn by onboarding experiences is to introduce personalization into your onboarding. Including this micro survey in the welcome screen is one way to basically personalize the user journey and increase the activation rate, engagement with the tool, and ultimately reduce churn.
So what you're saying is basically that, like, when you do the walkthrough of the tool, you show just those features that work better or that your user may be interested in more.
Yeah.
Alrighty. And specifically during these times, is there anything that founders can do to retain customers better? Anything specific, steps, or do we need to pay special attention to our customers and send them special emails, you know, asking how they're doing and things like this to help increase our retention rate?
Yeah, definitely. Emails, you know, that's something that almost all companies have been doing since, you know, the pandemic started, like, to really affect our lives. But I would say, apart from that, you can communicate with your users in-app. And that's probably the first place where you should do that. And you should also closely monitor their behavior and respond to the differences in their behavior by offering extra help, either through an in-app modal or a follow-up email if, for instance, they are slipping away, so they haven't been logging in for some reason. So yeah, you should definitely increase the attention you are paying to your user behavior using analytics tools. Another thing is that you should offer extra help. So communicate with all these different groups of users that you have in-app and offer them personalized help based on what you've seen they are doing, especially during this time, to help them see the value in your tool. Because otherwise, everybody's sort of going into a saving mode, and especially the affected industries, they will be looking for places where to cut costs. So you don't want to be perceived as nice to have, right? You want to kind of stress the value of your product. And so this is especially the time for your customer success to step in and help your users keep achieving their goals during this time, whatever it takes.
Are there any specific examples where we can help our customers, or our customer success team can step in and help users with achieving their goals? Anything specifically that you've seen other founders did or you've done in the past?
For instance, when it comes to email marketing tools, if you see your users are struggling with, I don't know, collecting the subscribers, right? You could send them articles from your knowledge base, or even invite them to jump on a call or create a special workshop, you know, to show them basically how to collect their subscribers faster and how to do it more effectively. Or say with User Pilot, we do a lot of workshops with our users to basically show them how to set up these experiments and experiences that we learned are beneficial for SaaS businesses, among others from this research that we conducted, right? And we're constantly basically testing different experiences. And so, for instance, we know that through an onboarding checklist, right, you can increase the adoption of certain features by, you know, up to 30%. So that's just a small, you know, experience that takes literally a couple of minutes to set up, but it's going to have a massive impact on the usage of certain features in your tool.
I see lots of questions about discounts and whether to drop the prices. What's your take on it?
First, I was really against dropping prices and discounting specifically because it kind of devalues your product and it shows that, well, maybe it wasn't really worth the price tag in the first place. But if a specific sector of your users is struggling due to the corona situation, and you have asked them, they said like, or they wrote you an email, well, you know, we lost 20 or 50% of our customers due to the crisis. We simply can't afford things any longer. Then you can offer them a limited time, basically discount or even a total subscription rate. So first you should probably offer them like a 50% discount for the next 3 months before sort of the situation improves. And then when this isn't still, you know, enough for them, then you could offer them a subscription break. The key goal is to keep them in your world, is to keep them, you know, using your tool, because it's very difficult to find new customers and onboard them and teach them how to use your tool. It's much easier to retain existing customers, even if it means they won't be paying as much for a while.
Completely agree. And that's exactly what my husband did with his SaaS. So we do have some clients who come and say that due to coronavirus, I'd like to cancel my subscription. Instead of actually canceling it, or in some cases, even discounting to 50% because the client already wants to cancel. When they still say, you know, 50% is not enough, I still want to cancel. And then your last resort is say, basically, I can do it for free for the next 2 months. So instead of doing that, I would just maybe just directly go to, it is expected the coronavirus is going to be in effect for another, you know, month, 2 months. It is predicted that everything is going to get better or back to normal. So I'm offering you 2 months for free. So basically this way you keep your client and hopefully in 2 months, they're going to come back and keep using your tool.
Yeah, exactly. You need to approach it on a very personal basis and just, you know, be human.
So you mentioned the state of SaaS onboarding, your research that you've done with more than 1,000 SaaS companies. Can you tell us a little bit more? Are there any other interesting ideas or tools or anything that we can share with the listeners?
Yeah, the first thing that I mentioned, the lack of personalization is something that struck us. Basically, what we did, as I said, we took 1,000 SaaS companies and signed up for each of them. And then we saw basically what they did. So it was very kind of, it was an open research. And we looked at the practices they employed in their onboarding and how it affected our user experience and what we can learn from them. So for instance, we already talked about welcome screens, and we found that only 40% of SaaS products have a welcome screen at all. So, you know, that's interesting because it sort of sets the tone for your relationship with the user. You don't even welcome them, right? And you're kind of missing an opportunity to find out more about the user and personalize their, for instance, walkthrough. So you can give them a better experience and you can achieve a higher engagement in different user groups. So that kind of gives you food for thought and potentially big advantage if you implement this. We also saw that very few SaaS products are using video within their apps to, for instance, explain certain features of their tool or even welcome the users. So we found that only it was like under 20% of SaaS tools use video at all. So, you know, this is a very underexplored area that you can leverage your advantage. Like people read less and less, and video is such a powerful way to explain things and build relationships. So again, like knowing what other businesses are doing and knowing what other best practices can give you advantage over your competitors, basically, at this level.
Do you have specific examples or results that you or your clients have achieved when they implement the personalized onboarding?
We do a lot of case studies with our users, basically, off the top of my head. So we recently interviewed Indian conversational chatbot tool. which implemented personalized onboarding, and that translated in 5% higher engagement rates in this, with a specific feature that they identified as one of the five, you know, like features that leads to conversion. So engagement with this feature basically correlates with conversion from a free user to a paid user. Right? So they saw a 5% increase in adoption of this feature after introducing personalization in their onboarding that helped specific groups of their users to adopt this feature. And that translated in turn to, they said, between 2 and 5% increase in their MRR. So these are significant differences.
Are there any books that impacted, that you really liked, that you've read recently, that you think our listeners would also find useful on this topic?
Yeah, absolutely. What has impacted me quite a lot was Build by HubSpot. So it's a book on how we have entered this product-led growth era, and it, you know, shows the difference in how software is purchased these days, like how these purchasing decisions are made. This is something that I referred to earlier as well, and how this should affect the way we build products these days and the way we market them. So unlike, you know, 10 or so years ago, it's not communication managers that are making purchasing decisions about software in the companies. It's more like the end user that is really making decisions like that because they have tried something or because a friend of theirs recommended a particular tool they are using in their company. So these decisions are kind of moving bottom up these days, which means that you should really pay attention to what your user wants and their specific needs, and basically constantly iterate your product based on the feedback you're getting. This is also why it's so important to personalize the onboarding and to collect information about your users, their goals, their roles, and then keep collecting this feedback within your tool as they are basically moving along their user journey, and also keep observing and monitoring their behavior in your app.
Tell us more about User Pilot.
User Pilot is a tool mainly for SaaS onboarding at the moment, but we are actually moving on to becoming a kind of all-rounded tool for building product experiences without coding. So it's a tool that allows product managers to create various experiences that help the users use the tool more effectively without engaging the development team. And that's very important because especially up and coming SaaS businesses, the development time is very expensive. It also adds management costs, and you need to communicate what you want to build to your development team and oversee the development process and troubleshoot everything. While tools like User Pilot basically allow you to build whatever you want in your tool with a Chrome extension.
Where can listeners connect with you?
Preferably on LinkedIn. So you can just find me under my name and reach out to me when you want to talk about onboarding or how you can create good product experiments that can help you engage your users more and reduce churn.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Emilia. It was a pleasure talking to you. And that's it for this episode. For those tech founders who have a remote team, I have a question. Do you find yourself that it's much faster for you to do things by yourself than waste all of that mental energy delegating tasks to someone? And so you either don't hire anyone, or if you already have a remote team, you're guilty of doing those tasks by yourself because there's just so much energy goes into delegating the tasks and then just managing people. Are you able to take a few days off and not be worried that your servers will go down or your support is going to blow up? What if you could work on more strategic, important things and let your team fix the bugs? If you only started building your team in the last couple of years, I guarantee that you are making lots of mistakes that hinder your growth without even realizing that. Oftentimes, you, the founder, may end up being the bottleneck to your team's success. That is definitely hard to swallow, but it's true. But also look on the bright side. this is also the easiest problem for you to fix because you are in control of how to fix it. I'll be launching soon a program that will help tech founders improve your team performance and as a result, remove the roadblocks to scaling your SaaS just by improving your operations and team dynamic. This is really the shortcut. To be notified when it's live, go to my website, natalieluneva.com/team. natalieluneva.com/team.